I want to focus our attention tonight with the help of the Lord in verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 5 tells us, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now I want to try to preach tonight, if the Lord will touch me and help me, from verse 5, on the godless trying to be godly. The godless trying to be godly. Paul here lists many vices that will manifest themselves in the last days. He goes through a list of sins that will prevail prior to the time that Jesus will sound the trumpet and come for the saints of God. These vices create what Paul calls perilous times, times that are difficult, troublesome times, times that, amen, are perilous. In this list, there is one sin that seems to involve spiritual things. The other things that are mentioned here are pretty much could be summed up with sins of selfishness or sins of stubbornness. You could catalog them as sins of sensuality. You could take all these sins and put them in a category that could be headed with those titles. The Bible tells us that there'll be men that are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Those men are committing sins of selfishness. And then there are those that are blaspheming and proud and disobedient to their parents, unthankful, they're unholy. These men are sins that are committed in stubbornness against the things of God. Then there are those without natural affection and those that are incontinent and those that allow themselves to be consumed with pleasure in these verses more than they're concerned about the things of God. And these individuals are consumed with sensual sin. But verse 5 takes on a different meaning when Paul begins to explain the condition that these days will unveil to us. And he talks about men that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Spiritual sins. Spiritual sins seem to have a severe, and I don't want to catalog sin, but from the Word of God, sin that revolves around spiritual matter seems to carry a very severe, a very immediate judgment from God. Nothing is more damning and nothing is more deceptive and nothing is more destructive than sins that revolve around spiritual things. Things in the Word of God, we read about the abomination of desolation in the Scripture. That is a sin that is committed playing around and toying around with godly and holy things. I thought about it this afternoon. I believe it was Uzziah that got out of his place and stepped in the place of the priest. I believe that's right, Uzziah the king. And Uzziah the king, I believe, was struck with leprosy because he had gotten out of his place. And in doing so, he spiritually sinned. I thought about Saul. Saul done a lot of things wrong, but Saul got in real trouble when he tried to take the place of the prophet Samuel. It was a sin that involved spiritual matters, and God did not put up with it for a minute. God judged him very severely and very quickly. There's two sons in the Bible, the sons of Aaron. And these sons offered strange fire unto God, and God immediately killed them because they sinned toying around with spiritual matters. So with that being said tonight, I want to tell you young people and you adults as well that you might get by with covetousness and you might get by with pride and you might get by with sensual sin, amen, for a while. You don't get by with any sin, but you might get by and not face the wrath of God and the judgment of God in a very immediate matter. But I'm telling you what, when you start toying around with the things of God, when you start toying around with spiritual matters, I'm telling you there is a severe judgment on those that sin when it regards spiritual things. Here in these verses is a list of iniquity and ungodliness. But in verse 5, unveiling to us the very generation and day in which each one of us lived, there is a form of godliness. But men deny the power thereof. The godless trying to be godly is a very serious thing that we see in these last days. First of all, I want to say that these individuals are fake. They have a form of godliness. The word "for" means outward semblance. In other words, they look good on the outside. Everything looks in order. It doesn't seem like anything's out of place. They carry the right Bible. They wear the right clothes. They say the right things. But there's no power with God. They have a form of godliness, but they've denied the power thereof. The word "godly" in that verse means devout. It means that these individuals have a form, they have an outward semblance, but yet they are devout with it. I mean, you're not going to sway them. You're not going to change them. Amen. They are very consistent from day to day with their beliefs and their rules and all that they embrace in life. They're very devout. I mean, they dress right and they look right and they believe right, but they have a form. They're fake. Then they deny something. They deny the power thereof. That word "power" means transform. That word "power" is the word dunamis, the word in the Greek, the word that we get our word dynamo and dynamite from. The power of the gospel is what they deny. When you talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will come in contact with what that word means. When Jesus got up out of the grave, amen, when Jesus come forth out of that grave, it is a picture of what happens to the child of God when they are delivered from sin. They pass from death unto life, and their eyes that were blind are opened by the power of the gospel. They deny that. They deny it to themselves. Amen. They have a form of godliness, but they cannot get a handle on the power that is involved in the gospel. Amen. And there are some things that can be marked by that tonight. They're fake. Not only are they fake, they're fools. I know what the Bible says about that word and calling a man a fool, but I'm telling you, in verse 6, we're told that they're fools. Well, no, let me say this. They're fleshly first. I'll get to the fool part in a minute. Amen. They're fake, but then they're eat up with the flesh. In verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Amen. They're eat up with the flesh. I mean, they are eat up with the flesh even though they dress right. They're eat up with the flesh even though they carry the right Bible. They're eat up with the flesh even though they go to church every time the doors are open. They're eat up with the flesh even though they pay their tithes. They're fake. They're eat up with the flesh. They are consumed with ungodliness. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. What they watch, what they see, what they hear when no one is looking is wicked and ungodly and perverted. And they want to claim to be godly, but they're godless. They deny the power of God. They do not have the power within them to overcome sin and to deal with the overcoming power of the world. They don't seem to be able to overcome temptation. They deny the power of the gospel. They're eat up with the flesh. They're fake. They're fools. In verse 7, they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You can't tell them anything. You preach your heart out to them. Try to explain to them the principles and the truths of the Word of God, but they cannot seem to grasp truth. They can memorize the Bible. Amen. They can quiz on it. They can take a test in Bible class with it. They can sit in a Sunday school class and listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God week after week and day after day, and they still dress right. They still look right. They still have every outward appearance. Are you listening to me? Of being godly. But the Bible and the Word of God and the truth of God's Word has no place inside of them. You ever talk to somebody about spiritual matters and they want to change the subject pretty quick? They'd rather talk about hunting or fishing. They'd rather talk about bowling or golf. They'd rather talk about the weather or the news. They'd rather talk about work or the farm. They have no common ground with you when you talk about the things of God. Yet they look just like you look. They go to the same church you go to. But they have no appetite for spiritual matters. They never can seem to get a handle of the truth. They never can seem to get the concept of biblical truth. They're fake. They're fools. They're fleshly. Then they're always fighting. Verse 8, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They're always withstanding or against something. They're always setting themselves up as an adversary. They always have a negative attitude, a pessimistic demeanor about them when it comes to the things of God, the church, and the progress of the gospel. So I believe we can all say that these individuals that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, that they're fake. Wouldn't you say they are fake?
Amen.
They're fools in that they are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even though everything looks right in a religious realm outwardly, these individuals, amen, are eat up with the flesh. Now I could preach about a lot of things. I could talk about YouTube, boob tube, every other kind of tube. And your music, and who you're hanging around with, and the jokes you're laughing at, and the things that you're entertained by. I could preach about all that stuff, but you're never going to realize that that's wicked and ungodly until you are born again. And the Spirit of God enlightens you to the sin that you are in and the inability that you have to overcome it. Amen. You will never understand truth until the Spirit of God opens up your eyes. And unless He does, I pity your soul in eternity. They're fake. They're fools. They're fleshly. They're always fighting. But they have a form. I'm going to borrow somewhat of an illustration that Brother Rackley gave the other night. In a little bit different light, but the Lord touched my heart about it. And I talked to him last night on the phone or texted him back and forth a few times about this. And he used a little thought and a little illustration that I believe goes along with this text tonight that God has dealt with my heart about. They have a form. They have a form of godliness. But deny the power thereof. Very prevalent in this day. Very prevalent in this day. And I didn't know exactly what to do. I want to make sure I got something that everybody could maybe determine what it is. And I hope that you can figure out what that is. Amen. I hope this will suffice. Some of you fellows, you know what that is? You don't know what that is? What is that? That's a turkey. Amen. Well, that's good. That's good. so everybody can see that that's a turkey, right? All right, Brother Steve, that looks close enough to one. So that's a turkey, right? Wrong. That's not a turkey. That's not a turkey at all. That's a form of a turkey.
Yes, sir.
We call them in the hunting world decoys. It's not a turkey at all. You thought it was a turkey. Just like somebody, that fellow you sat beside of you thinks a Christian.
Yes, sir.
But there's some things very, very unique about this decoy. Very expensive decoy. But this decoy has the looks of a turkey, but this decoy does not have the life of a turkey. Looks like one, but it doesn't have any life. You see, this turkey's not breathing. It doesn't have a heart that's beating physically. It doesn't have lungs that are expanding and contracting. It doesn't have blood vessels that blood is flowing through its body. Oh, it looks like a turkey. It just doesn't have life. They have a form of godliness. It has the appearance of a turkey, but it doesn't have any actions of a turkey. In other words, it's dressed up like a turkey. It's, you know, it has the appearance with the feathers and the snout and everything about it. It has the appearance of a turkey, but it just don't act like one. What about you? Have the appearance of a Christian, but don't act like one? That's a form. That's fake. That is a sin of spiritual sin that exists in the day in which we live. It has a mouth. That turkey has a mouth. You see it? It has a mouth, John, but it doesn't say anything. Do I need to explain any further? It has eyes right there. It has little eyes on it. Has eyes. It don't see anything. Can't see anything. You just can't see it. I just don't see it that way. I just can't see that. Amen. Eyes, but it can't see. It has little ears on the side of its head, but it can't hear a thing. I mean, you can holler and preach and sing, and it'll look just like a turkey. But it won't hear nothing you're saying. It won't listen to a thing you're saying. It won't listen to the words of the song or the points of the message. It's got ears, but it cannot hear. It's got eyes, but it cannot see. It's got a mouth, but it has no message to tell. Amen. Looks like a turkey, but it don't say nothing. Oh, you can sit here and try to get it to say stuff. Preachers do that to these kind of people all the time. Just talk to them. Come on, that's the way you do it now. Come on, say something for us. I can sit there all night long. Come on, you can do it, little buddy. Fly for me. That's what we do on visitation when they ain't in church on Sunday from Sunday. I don't do that, amen, but a lot of preachers do that. Some of you get offended because I don't. Some of you get offended because I don't chase after people that run away from here. I'm still exactly where I was at when they left. Amen. Now, if I was a pastor that scattered the sheep, that'd be one thing, but I'm not scattering the sheep. I'm trying to keep them in. Amen. Everybody listen. Fly, little bird. Fly, little bird. Fly, little bird. That's what preachers are doing all across the country with this kind of people. Get them to fly. Come on, you can do it. 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 Speak, 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 speak. But when you've toted it everywhere you want to tote it, try to get it to say anything you want to say, try to get it to fly when it's all said and done, when you get tired, weary, and wore out, there it is. It's in the same shape it was in when you started your little discipleship program, all because it has a form. And it's fake. Amen. Are you listening to me? They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Amen. This thing looks healthy. It looks healthy. No ribs showing. Doesn't look like any diseases on it. Looks healthy, but it never grows. This fake symbol of a turkey never eats. It never feeds. It never soars with the other birds and flies. It never struts. And I know it's probably a hen, but it never struts. It never does anything that a turkey is supposed to do. Fact of the matter is, other turkeys are flying. When other turkeys are flying through the air and walking around and picking, and one's over here strutting and another one's over here clucking, and everything's going on that turkeys do in their daily habits when they get together. That's all he's doing. Is that right there? Like some of you do. That's what he's doing. She's doing. Looks just like you do when everybody else is singing in the choir. Looks just like you. That looks just like you when folks are testifying and shouting and worshiping God and doing what saints do. Amen. Looks just exactly like you look when the saints of God that are really godly are doing what is natural for them to do. They have a form. And that's very serious. You young ladies, listen to me. When a young man shows interest in you, it's good if he's got his hair cut right. It's good if he believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's good that all of his beliefs and doctrines are set in order. That's a good thing to consider. But you better find out. You better find out whether or not that's the way he is. When the rest of the turkeys are doing what comes natural. You girls hear me? Charity, you hear me? You better make sure that boy is not formed. You understand me, Bethany? You better make sure that he's not just a form. You listening to me? That thing's not real. Oh, when I ask you what it is, everybody in the building, if I just said, what is that right there, a turkey? But that's not a turkey. Not a turkey at all. It doesn't have anything at all that would cause it to possess the life that a turkey possesses. Amen. Let me tell you what this thing's good for. Let me tell you what this thing's used for. It's a decoy. And this thing will distract and detour the course of the real turkey. Brother Rackley used a duck the other night in this big duck hunting country up in Paducah. You know, if I was going to put this bird out somewhere, I got a little thing in the pulpit, a little stick you stick up under it right there, and you just put it in the ground. And that thing will not move unless the wind blows it. But if the wind blows, It'll just twist around like that, move around every time the wind blows. It has no will. It has no will of its own. It's just blown by the wind. Just whatever the wind does. And you know it hangs around? You know what hangs around? If you go get Brother Steve's turkey hunting pouch and you reach down in there, it's a good chance he's got probably a couple of three of these in there maybe. He's got them all stuck in the same bag together. If this, in illustration, if I thought about this last night late, if this was a duck decoy, they put them ducks out there, and you know what they have to do to them? Have to put chains or ropes on them. Because if you don't put a chain or rope on it, it'll just drift off when the wind starts blowing. The waters will start taking it wherever it wants to, just out through there, and they'll get gone. Got to have something to hold it and restrain it, just like you do. In other words, if the rope was took loose tonight and the chain was cut in your life, and you know good and well you would run to the world. You're fake. You're not real. And the game you're playing with godliness is a very serious sin. It's called the sin of rejection. You have a form, but you have no life. You're no different than that bird right there. I can watch you in church. I watch some of you young people in Bible class and in chapel, and I see your attitude, and I see your disposition, and you show no sign of spiritual life. You would make a good decoy, because anybody you get around gets backslid on God. Anybody that befriends you, you influence them toward wickedness. You're clicking your phone and showing them things, aren't you? Letting them get in your back bedroom and letting them listen to that song on the computer that your mom and dad don't know nothing about. A form. No life. Has no action. You don't care. You don't care a thing about anything to do godly. You look godly, but you are not interested in reaching the lost with the gospel. You're not interested in anything to do with the ministry of the Word of God and the church or the things of God. You just want to look like a turkey. And I have seen that very thing right there. I've seen that very thing right there wreck godly people. Because they befriended them. They looked right. They acted right. But because they had a form, they were drawn in, and the devil destroyed them. The godless trying to be godly is a serious thing. I have to carry this thing everywhere it goes. I always have to carry this. It will not travel, grow, progress, or prosper on its own, because it's fake. It's not real. It has no life. It has no purpose. What about you tonight? Everybody that's testified tonight has testified about having a knowledge of God in their head. Miss Melanie said that tonight. But it wasn't in their heart. There was no life in it. Played around and goofed off in church because they didn't have no life. Didn't care about anything spiritually. That's a form. Something that's not real. What about you tonight? Are you real? Are you playing games? Do you have spiritual life tonight? Something that is real and bubbling and alive in your soul tonight? This thing is very dangerous in this day that we live. You would be amazed at the untold thousands of turkeys that have failed for this and lost their life. Untold thousands of them have. It looked real. Be honest with you, that bird wanted it to be real, but it wasn't real. And because of that, that real live bird, its course of life, its purpose was changed, distracted. It's very serious tonight. The godless trying to be godly. The facade of religion. It's a very dangerous place to be. Very deceptive. Religion can be very deceptive. Jesus told the woman at the well that I can give you water to drink of, and it will be a well springing up in your soul to everlasting life. Is that well bubbling in your heart tonight? A form, but no feeling. Looks, no life. Appearance, no action. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The power of that verse is the transforming influence of the gospel. Have you experienced that grace and power? We stand to our feet all over the building. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The musicians will come. I've given you the burden of my heart tonight. Brother Rackley gave this illustration somewhat, not exactly the way I give it tonight, and used a duck. And I called him. I said, you want to come and preach for my church on Sunday night? I have a text, that illustration, that I feel like could be appropriate. And I believe I've obeyed the Lord tonight. And I believe some of you need to determine if that's you. Some of you need to determine whether or not you're just playing a game. Let me ask you something tonight before we play and sing. Even though, Brother Steve, this is not real, it does have an influence, wouldn't you agree? Even though this is not real and it can't breathe, see, or speak, it has an influence. Now, what kind of influence are you having? This bird right here that is not alive, it's only the semblance of one, has a very negative influence on the birds around it. It cannot fly. It cannot eat. It cannot do anything that they do, but it has a negative influence on them. What kind of influence do you have on people around you? What kind of influence do you have on those around you? Is it negative? What kind of influence? That's an important question to ask. You can decide. That's an easy way to determine where your standing is with God tonight. What kind of path am I leading my friends down? or my friend? What kind of path am I carrying my family down? I've seen men forsake the house of God, have no interest in the things of God, put things before the things of God in their life, their hobbies, their games, their fun, and set a pattern and a course for their children. God, help us tonight to figure out just exactly what kind of influence we have. A form of godliness. Only you can answer that question. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I have the form, but there's something living inside of me. Something's alive in my heart. Amen. I know what it's like to try to be this right here in a Baptist church. But it was a glad and a happy day in my life when I jumped that form and I got forgiveness and experienced the power of the gospel.